picture this. You're 3 hours into your first solo cross-country. You left this morning under a ceiling of 4,000 feet and 5 miles visibility. Perfectly legal, perfectly comfortable, but it's now 2 in the afternoon, and the cumulus that were small and scattered when you filed your flight plan have been building for the last 40 minutes. They're darker now, taller. And the ATs at your destination is reporting 1,500 broken with occasional rain showers. The field you plan to land at is 50 miles ahead. The field you just passed is 30 miles behind. What do you do? I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're walking through one of the most important skills you will build as a cross-country pilot, the divert, the in-flight course change, the moment you look at what is ahead and decide the original plan no longer serves you. It sounds simple, it is not. Before we get into it, a quick thank you to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial, they have got all of it covered. A great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right. Let's talk about diversions. The first thing I want you to understand is that a diversion is not a failure. It is not a sign that you planned badly or that you are a weak pilot. The diversion is a skill, a deliberate exercise of judgment, and the airman certification standards for the private pilot check ride treat it exactly that way. Under the cross-country flight planning and navigation sections of the ACS, your examiner is specifically looking for your ability to recognize when the original plan is no longer appropriate and to change course accordingly. They want to see you identify an alternate airport, calculate or estimate a new course and distance, and execute the diversion with minimal disruption to aircraft control. That is the standard. Now let us talk about what actually happens in the airplane. Diversions get triggered by a handful of things. Weather is the most common, but also mechanical issues. Fuel that is burning faster than planned because the winds were not what the forecast said. Unplanned airspace fatigue. Sometimes it is just a gut feeling that something is not right, and that gut feeling is worth listening to. For today, we are going to focus primarily on weather and fuel, because those are the two that come up most often on cross-country flights. Let's start with weather, because it is the one students tend to hesitate on the longest. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. VFR weather minimums are a floor, not a target. 2 miles visibility and a 1,000-foot ceiling is legal in Class G airspace below 1,200 feet AGL during the day. It is not comfortable, it is not safe for most student pilots. It is certainly not where you want to be 50 miles from an unfamiliar airport with conditions still deteriorating ahead of you. The Federal Aviation Administration's own guidance in the Aeronautical Information Manual discusses VFR flight into IMC, instrument meteorological conditions, as one of the most lethal situations a VFR pilot can enter. The statistics behind it are sobering. When a VFR pilot enters actual IMC, the average time before loss of control is approximately 178 seconds, just under 3 minutes. That is not a lot of time to make a good decision. So, the decision to divert has to happen before you are in the clouds. That is the whole point. You need to be making that call with daylight and distance to spare, not when the horizon disappears. The question every student asks is, how do I know when it is time? There is no single answer, but there is a framework that helps. Think of it in terms of margins. When any one of your margins, whether that is weather ceiling, visibility, fuel, daylight, or terrain clearance, gets thin, you have an early warning, you note it, you stay alert. When two of those margins converge at the same time, you're in decision territory. You should already be looking at your options. Here is a concrete example. You're flying at 4,500 feet. The ceiling ahead looks like it is dropping. You have still got 3 miles vis, maybe more, and the terrain below is flat farmland. One margin is shrinking. You note it. Now the ceiling continues dropping, and you pull out your sectional and see there is a ridgeline 15 miles ahead that tops out at 2,800 feet. Two margins are now converging. That is your signal. Do not wait for three. Make the call. The mental shift I want you to practice is from can I continue to, should I continue? Those are different questions. The first is about legality. The second is about judgment. Examiners are looking for the second one, so are accident investigators, unfortunately in the cases where pilots chose wrong. Okay, so you have made the call. You're going to divert. Now what? First, aviate. Do not let your attention on the chart or the GPS or the radio pull you away from flying the airplane. Maintain altitude, airspeed, and situational awareness. Everything else is secondary. I have seen students so focused on finding an alternate on the chart that they started drifting in heading without realizing it. The airplane flies while you plan. Keep that in order. Second, navigate. You need an alternate airport. How do you pick one? On your sectional or your electronic flight bag? You're looking for a few things. Proximity is first. Closer is generally better, especially if weather or fuel is the driver. But proximity is not everything. Look at runway length. A 5,000-foot runway gives you more options than a 2,000-foot strip, especially if you might be landing with a crosswind, a tailwind, or on a wet surface. Look at whether the airport has services. That little circle with radiating lines on the sectional means fuel is available. A small blue triangle means the field is attended. These details matter when you're making an unplanned stop and need to think about what comes next. Check the airspace. Is there a temporary flight restriction, a TFR, between you and the alternate? Is there Class Bravo or Class Charlie airspace you would need to navigate around? Do not add complexity to a situation that is already complicated. The best alternate is the one that is reachable with the least additional risk. Now let us talk about actually getting there, because this is where students sometimes struggle on the check ride. If you are flying with a paper sectional, the divert technique that works in the airplane is old-fashioned but effective. Fold the sectional so your current position and the alternate airport are both visible. Place your thumb on your current position and rotate the chart until the line toward the alternate aligns with a compass rose or a line of longitude. Read the approximate magnetic heading, then estimate the distance, then mentally adjust for winds, which you already know from your flight planning. That is rough because it is supposed to be rough. The skill the ACS is testing is not precision, it is airmanship. Can you make a reasonable estimate, fly toward the airport, and arrive safely? Yes, with a few degrees of heading error? Absolutely. The examiner is not expecting 6-degree accuracy with a folded chart in moderate turbulence. They are expecting you to think clearly under pressure. If you're using ForeFlight or a Garmin Navigator, the direct-to-function does most of that work for you. Use it, but understand what it is doing, because the day the avionics quit is the day you need to know how to work a paper chart. Third, communicate. Once you have got the airplane pointed in the right direction, get on the radio. If you're on VFR flight following, tell the controller. Something like, your call sign, we are diverting to the new destination, request updated advisories. They will update your data block, possibly give you traffic advisories, and can relay weather information from nearby facilities. If you are not on flight following, consider broadcasting your intentions on 122.8, the common traffic advisory frequency, in the vicinity of your alternate and contact flight service to update your VFR flight plan. This is critical, and students routinely forget it. The whole purpose of that VFR flight plan is search and rescue. If you land somewhere other than your filed destination and do not update it, someone could be looking for you in the wrong place. That is a bad outcome that a 30-second radio call prevents. Now let us shift to fuel, because fuel diversions work a little differently. Under Federal Aviation Regulation 91.151, you are required to have enough fuel to reach your destination plus 30 minutes at normal cruise speed during the day and 45 minutes at night. Those are minimums. Real-world planning for students should include a buffer beyond that, especially on longer cross-countries. Here is how fuel emergencies sneak up on pilots. The winds were forecast at 15 knots on the nose, but were actually 30. Every segment is taking longer than planned and burning more fuel than the log says. Or you ran at a slightly higher power setting than you planned. Or there was an extended hold at the destination. Any one of those is manageable. All three together and you have a problem. The smart habit is to calculate your expected fuel burn per segment on your navigation log before you leave the ground, and then check actual fuel quantity against expected at every checkpoint. If you are burning more than planned, you know it early. If you're running 10 to 15% below expected fuel at the halfway point, that is when you start thinking about options. Not when the low fuel light illuminates. If fuel becomes critical in flight, your decision framework shifts. You are no longer looking for the most convenient airport with the nicest FBO, you are looking for the nearest airport with a runway that can take your airplane, period. You may need to declare an emergency, or at minimum, use the phrase minimum fuel when talking to ATC. Minimum fuel is not an emergency declaration, but it does communicate urgency. It puts the controller on notice that you cannot accept any undue delay. Emergency fuel or a full mayday with the word emergency means you need immediate assistance and priority handling. Know the difference. Do not understate the situation out of embarrassment. Controllers would rather hear minimum fuel from you now than coordinate a search later. I want to spend a moment on something that does not always get enough attention in the divert discussion, which is the decision you make before you ever start the engine. The pre-flight go, no-go call is a diversion in spirit, even if not in execution. And the cross-country planning process exists to give you the information you need to make it wisely. When you pull your weather briefing from the Aviation Weather Center or through flight service, you are looking at conditions at your departure, your destination, your alternates, and the en route environment. NOTAMs, TFRs, SIGMETs, AIRMETs, that package of information is your decision brief. Here is the honest truth about student pilots and go-no-go calls. The hardest one to make is the time you have been planning this flight for 2 weeks. The weather is marginal, and your instructor is waiting on the other end. The social pressure to go is real. The sunk cost of planning feels real. None of that is aviation. All of it needs to be set aside. The Aeronautical Decision-Making Framework, covered in FAA Advisory, Circular 60A, calls out the classic hazardous attitudes, and one of the most common is what they call get-there-itis. The fixation on completing the flight as planned, even when conditions argue otherwise. Recognizing it in yourself is the first step to not letting it make the decision for you. The safest version of a diversion is the one you make on the ground, before you start the engine. Let us come back to our scenario from the top. 3 hours in, 2 in the afternoon, ceiling dropping at the destination. Here's what I would want a student to do. Check fuel first. Can you hold at your current position, turn around and make it back to a known good airport? If yes, that is an option. Look at the sectional. Where are the airports between you and the weather? Do any have services, good runways, and reasonable conditions? Get on the radio. Ask flight following for pilot reports, PIREPs, ahead, or call flight service on 122.8. A real-time weather report from a pilot who just flew from where you are going is worth more than any forecast. Then make the call. Do not press on hoping it gets better. Hope is not on the navigation log, land at the alternate. Tie down the airplane. Call your instructor. Here is something the best instructors I have known always say. They are not impressed by the student who pressed on through marginal weather and happened to make it. They are impressed by the student who called it early, made a smart divert, and walked in the door with a clear account of their reasoning. That is the pilot they want to fly with. That is the pilot who passes the check ride and keeps flying for the next 40 years. The examiner is looking for the decision, not the destination. The FAA Aeronautical Information Manual, the Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot, and Advisory Circular 60A on Aeronautical Decision-Making were the primary sources today. All three are worth reading through before your check ride. Find us at RadioHangar.com. I'm Pattern, fly with margin to spare.